Well, did anybody watch? We have any baseball fans here? Anybody watch a World Series this year? Okay, man, not as many people as I would love to see, but some of you like baseball. I'm a baseball fan. I help coach my son's baseball team. He's in seventh grade. And if you didn't know, I'll tell you, the World Series was great this year. It went to 7 games, which is always exciting, and the Washington Nationals beat the Houston Astros. I know some of you probably checked out once the Twins got swept by the Yankees, as usual, but it went 7 games, and the Washington Nationals won. And what I love, and you might expect this, is I love cheering for the little guys out there. They give me hope. And one of the guys that I love to cheer for is the second baseman for the Astros. They ended up losing, but his name is Jose Altuve, and he's an amazing player. He's been an MVP. He's won a World Series a couple years ago. He plays second base, and a long, long time ago, I played second base. And he's 5'6", just like me. So I'm like, yes! Like, I love cheering for that guy. But today we're also talking not about Jose Altuve, but another little guy, a little guy from Scripture. And it's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And we're talking about a little guy named Zacchaeus. Now, if you grew up in church world, you might have grown up singing songs about Zacchaeus being a wee little guy climbing up a sycamore tree and all that. And this is where that comes from, Luke chapter 19. Title of the message today is Jesus Seeking. Jesus Seeking. And we're in a series this fall. If you haven't been with us, that's okay, but we're in a series called Changed by Jesus. And Zacchaeus is one example of where we've been going the last several weeks and couple months, looking at people in the Bible, in the Gospels, men and women that encountered Jesus, had a conversation with him, were healed by him, had a demon cast out of them. They encountered Jesus in some way, and their lives were changed forever. Their lives were changed forever. From different backgrounds, different experiences, different ethnicities, different genders, all sorts of different baggage in their lives. One thing was, they had one big thing in common. When they met Jesus, they were changed forever. And that's what we've been talking about, and how Jesus wants to do the same thing in our lives today, change us. So in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, this man named Zacchaeus, he's forever changed through an encounter with Jesus. Well, here's where we're going. We're going to look at the two main sections in this story, in this narrative, and then make three applications at the end as we reflect on that. So let's dive right into the story together. Verses 1 through 4, seeking Jesus. It starts with seeking Jesus in this first scene. Verse 1 says this: He, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now, the setting we see right away in verse 1, this journey to Jerusalem. Jesus is on the road to the cross. Jesus is toward he's towards the end of his public ministry. He's nearing the Passion Week, Easter week, and he's going uphill. He's about 18 miles away from Jerusalem, near a town named Jericho. He's going up in elevation, heading to the cross. The Gospel of Mark tells us that in that caravan, in that parade with Jesus and the disciples and a crowd, that Jesus was in front, like leading the way, on literally a death march, going to what he understood to be the cross, his death, and then the resurrection, which he had predicted and told his disciples about several times. Now, he's in the region of Jericho, and we saw last week another story right around this time in Luke 18, the previous chapter, where Jesus had recently healed a blind beggar on the road near Jericho. Now, he's still in that region of Jericho, and now we see another person along with this blind man who encounters Jesus in a miraculous way. Well, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus had barriers between him and Jesus. Three barriers we could see here, really. Three strikes against him, you could say. First one is occupational. He was a chief tax collector, which in this culture meant, especially with the Jewish people and religious Jewish leaders especially, he was seen as an outcast. He was seen as a traitor. He was seen as a sellout, working for the Romans. And often tax collectors were dishonest. Often they charged more so they could pocket more. And they stole money, they extorted people. And he wasn't just a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. I mean, he's like a manager of tax collectors, right? High up on the tax collector pole. While Jericho was a major toll collection point, a tax collection point on this road, on this way to Jerusalem. And that's where he was positioned. That's where he worked, in this city that was a good place to collect taxes, a major traffic point. So occupational, that was a barrier. Another barrier between Zacchaeus and Jesus was societal. He was rich. He was rich. Now, that may not seem like a barrier, but if you were reading through the Gospel of Luke, it would come to mind when you saw a rich man named Zacchaeus. Well, Jesus just said something about being rich and the dynamic there in the previous chapter, Luke 18. Listen to what he said. Jesus, seeing that this rich young ruler had become sad and didn't want to follow him, he said to his disciples, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." That's a pretty dramatic statement. Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved, Jesus?" But Jesus said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." So Jesus had just explained the previous chapter to his disciples, hey, it is hard for someone that has all the resources that this world has to offer to feel a need for me, to feel a need for the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God through faith in me, to be saved. It's like a camel trying to go through an eye of a needle. And you're like, well, that's impossible. And then Jesus says, but all things are possible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. So occupational, societal, Zacchaeus has another barrier, physical. He's a little guy. He's small. He can't see over the crowd. He can't see Jesus. He can't get to him. It's a barrier. He's going through life as a person that's small in stature, and he can't see Jesus. He doesn't just want a better view of the action. He doesn't just want the best, you know, seat so he can see what's unfolding. But verse 3 tells us he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He just didn't want a great vantage point. He wanted to see more of who Jesus was. He was interested in this, in the person of Jesus that was passing by in his town where he worked. So what happens? Well, verse 4, he makes a desperate climb. He makes a desperate climb. Two actions, Luke tells us here, Zacchaeus takes. He runs and he climbs. He runs and he climbs a tree. He looks for a point where he can get close enough to where Jesus is going to pass by so he can see him, so he can learn about more who he is. And the reason was, Luke tells us, Jesus was about to pass that way. He was coming. So Zacchaeus had to act fast. Just like the blind man we saw, this was his shot. This was Zacchaeus' shot to get close to Jesus, to see Jesus, to learn about Jesus. And he saw his opportunity and he took it to go up this sycamore tree. So he had a lot of barriers blocking his way to Jesus, occupational, societal, physical. But you know what? His biggest barrier is the same barrier that we have, our sin. Our sin. And that's a barrier that only Jesus can break down and break through. We'll see more of that. I wonder what Zacchaeus was thinking. We don't know. We can't get inside his head. But I wonder what he was thinking as he climbed that tree, as he sat on that branch to see Jesus. knowing that he's an outcast. He knows that. He gets that. You know, maybe he was thinking something like, how could Jesus ever accept me? Right? How could I ever have a chance to really know him, to be close to him? Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel that way in your life. Maybe you feel like you think Jesus could never really love you because of who you are, or maybe because of what you've done, or maybe because of what has been done to you. Maybe you're wrestling with brokenness and shame of some sort and just feeling like, I can't get close to Jesus either. I've got barriers that can't be broken through. Well, let me remind you, let me tell you some good news, that Jesus sees you just like he's going to see Zacchaeus in a moment, and he loves you deeply. He loves you deeply. And there's no barrier that he is not able to break through to get to you. And he wants to. He wants to know you. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, but we're about to see, really, that Jesus was already seeking him. Look at verses 5 through 10. Sought by Jesus. Let's see what it says. And when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, meaning the crowd that was with Jesus. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So verse 5, Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is trying to get to him, but Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus. Jesus comes in his journey on this road to the cross. He comes to the place where Zacchaeus was. He comes to the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus had climbed. And we don't know, you know, was that a lone tree? Were there other people in trees trying to see Jesus? We don't know, but we do know Zacchaeus was. And Jesus, it says, he came, he looked up, and then he said something. And notice some things here. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. And to our knowledge, they'd never met. They'd never met, but Jesus knows him. Jesus knows him, he knows his name, and he gives him a couple commands, tells him to hurry and come down, because the reason was, he says, for I must stay at your house today. Now, we might see that in our culture, like, wow, how rude, like, you're inviting yourself over to my house, especially in Minnesota, right? That doesn't happen very often. But why is this significant? Well, Jesus has time in his busy schedule, which I guarantee was busier than our schedule. He's on the way to the cross. He has some pretty big stuff going on. And Jesus has time for one lost person, one outcast. And he wants to go. He goes on Zacchaeus' turf. He goes to him. He initiates. He accepts Zacchaeus despite the controversy that he knows that's going to cause, because he knows that the Jewish religious leaders, many people would see Zacchaeus as an outcast, as an untouchable, as someone that you just don't talk with, especially if you're into like religious stuff. Stay away from this guy. But Jesus, it says, he must go to his house. He says, I must go to your house today. He had a divine mission. He had a divine appointment at this moment, and it was Zacchaeus. I mean, imagine Jesus walking down the road and he's like, well, it's about 10 o'clock. Where's my 10 o'clock appointment? There he is, Zacchaeus, right? Sitting in the tree. He had a divine appointment with Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus, he gets way more than he bargained for, way more than he thought. He doesn't just get to see Jesus from the tree. He gets to host him at his home. He gets to have him into his life. Jesus is asking to enter his life, his realm, his house. And Zacchaeus excitedly says, yes, yes, I do want you to enter into my life. That's what's going on here. Way bigger than just a dinner. Verse 6, Zacchaeus joyfully responds to Jesus. He obeys both of those commands. He hurries, he comes down, and he receives him joyfully. He welcomes him into his house with great joy. And meanwhile, while this is happening, look at verse 7. There's grumbling. I mean, here's an outcast. His life is about to be changed forever. And the crowd, the religious establishment, they should be celebrating this, but they're grumbling. Somewhere between verses 6 and verse 7, Jesus joins Zacchaeus at his house. And look at how the crowd reacts to Jesus' acceptance of him. They're grumbling. They're saying, oh man, Jesus is, he's eating and associating with sinners. Like people that would be sinful outcasts. People that he shouldn't be. He's breaking cultural and religious taboos. That's the grumbling and the whispering that's happening. And it's directly contrasted with Jesus' reaction to lost people here. Jesus sees somebody that's lost and in need of him, and he initiates. He gives him an opportunity to follow and to enter into a relationship with him. When others in the crowd see a lost person, not only do they ignore him, but they get upset when somebody initiates and approaches them. Somebody like Jesus. Well, this grumbling, it wasn't a new thing. Jesus, he faced a lot of opposition like this in his ministry. And people oftentimes grumbled by who Jesus associated with because it wasn't appropriate to spend time with outcasts like this. But let's think about Jesus for a moment, because he's a great example for us in our lives today. Jesus, he has a way of loving people without affirming their sin or their lifestyle. Oh my goodness, is that a message we need to hear today? A way of loving people, of befriending people, and entering into genuine relationship and caring for them without agreeing what they believe, without agreeing with how they're living, without agreeing with their sinful choices, whatever it might be. But he shows us you can have friendships, you can approach people, you can engage with others when they're not necessarily interested in following yet, when they're perceived as outcasts by maybe the church, or they're not living in line with any way with how the Bible would call someone to live as a follower of God and honoring God with their lives. We can have friendships with people that are very far from God and don't agree with how we want to live our lives and still enter into those genuine relationships and love them. That's the model that we see here. I mean, how many of you have friends where you have agreed 100% always with what they think, believe, or live? I don't think we'd have any friends left, right? That's impossible. Well, you can engage and love people deeply while disagreeing with them and pointing them to Jesus Christ. He met people where they were at, and he didn't want them to stay there. He called them to repentance and faith in him. Look at verse 8. Zacchaeus' pronouncement. When they're at this gathering at Zacchaeus' house, it says he stands up. He stands up. Now, why did he do that? Well, he could have been making a defense against the crowd's accusation of him being a sinner. But we do know he publicly proclaims his transformed convictions, his new allegiance to Jesus. And it's already making a difference. in his life. Look at what he says. There's spiritual fruit that's already coming to fruition. A couple things. We see generosity in his life. He says he's going to give half of his possessions to the poor. He announces this to the dinner party. And on top of that, on top of this unbelievable generosity that is new in his life, he wants to make restitution. He says that he wants to restore four times the amount that he extorted from people. All of a sudden, you see this guy who was a chief tax collector, far from God, seen as an outcast, not knowing Jesus. He comes to know Jesus, and his life begins to be transformed. He's already being changed. Listen to this, this note in the ESV Study Bible. It says this: the example of Zacchaeus, who gave away half of his goods, underscores the kind of open-handed generosity that characterizes those whose hearts have been transformed by the gospel. Man, how do you know that one of the ways that someone's truly being transformed by the gospel through Jesus Christ, they're becoming more generous? We see that all through the Bible. Generosity with everything in your life, your time, talents, treasure, wanting to give to others. It's part of what God does from the inside out of a follower of Christ, of a follower of him. So then Jesus makes a pronouncement after Zacchaeus says those things about what he wants to do. Verses 9 through 10, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to this house. Yes, Zacchaeus is a sinner, but guess what? Now he's a sinner who's been saved. Now he's a sinner who's experienced salvation, what it means to be delivered from sin, what it means to be changed through relationship with Jesus Christ. And his life's changed forever. It doesn't just end at this dinner party, but he's beginning to transform from the inside out. What's amazing here is chapter 18, Jesus had talked about how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Guess what? Zacchaeus, he's the camel. He's the camel who passed through the eye of the needle. God has done the impossible in saving a guy like Zacchaeus. Verse 10, the story concludes with Jesus making a statement about his mission, which is actually the focal point of the whole story, the last verse. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Talking about himself, Son of Man is a title that he used in reference to himself. It comes from the Old Testament. Jesus is saying, here's why I came. What's happening right now with this guy, Zacchaeus, his life being changed, this is exactly why I came. Why? Because I came as the Son of Man to seek and to save the lost. This is what Jesus is all about. 2,000 years ago and today, this is exactly why he came. Let's focus on three applications as we reflect on this awesome story. And they center around this question. As we've been talking about being changed by Jesus this fall together in this series, let's ask this about Zacchaeus in Luke 19. What do we learn from Luke 19 about how Jesus changes people? What does Luke want us to see here? What does Luke want us to take away as followers of Jesus? Maybe even as those, if you're here today, that aren't yet a follower of Jesus Christ. What can we learn about how Jesus changes people? Number one, Jesus is at work seeking after those who are seeking him. Okay? Jesus is the great pursuer. He's in the business of relentlessly chasing down and seeking worshipers. His mission is still to make lost people become found. Now, what's interesting, though, is you look in the Bible at a place like Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18, and it says, no one seeks God. No one seeks after God. And what that's getting at is, in our hearts, each and every one of us separated from God by our sin. We don't want anything to do with God. We run the other way because of our separation from God. No one at the end of the day seeks after God. But I've often encouraged people who are investigating Christianity. I've often encouraged people who are exploring, because if someone is seeking to know God and to find out more about who Jesus is, even if they don't know that yet, if the gospel hasn't clicked yet, if they don't understand how to come to know him, or even what it means to be a Christian, if they're seeking, if they're pursuing, if they're investigating, it's probably because God's already at work in seeking them, in drawing them to himself, which is exactly what we see with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought that he's seeking after Jesus, but really, we see Jesus was seeking him all along. And when Jesus got to the sycamore tree, he was already on mission, seeking after Zacchaeus. A lot of time, people in our lives, or maybe even you this morning, you might be seeking to know more, to kick the tires of Christianity, but I have a hunch that you're already being sought after by God. Second, what else do we learn about how Jesus changes people? Well, real repentance and faith, it leads to real change. Real repentance and faith leads to real change. When was the lightning bolt moment when it clicked for Zacchaeus? When was that point in time that Zacchaeus truly understood who Jesus was and entered into relationship with him? When was Zacchaeus, to use a theological term, converted? When did he really become a follower? We don't know for sure. We don't know when that moment in time was. And maybe you identify with that in this story. Maybe you're a follower of Christ, but you can't pinpoint the day, the hour, the minute, the second that you became a follower of Jesus. But at some point you realized, man, I'm a follower of Christ. I believe that he died on the cross in my place. I believe he rose from the dead to give me new life. I want to follow him. I see him as the king of my life. And I don't know exactly when all that clicked, but right now I know I'm his and I'm all in. That's what it means to be a follower of him, even if there's not always a moment in time that you can pinpoint. For some of us, there is a moment of time. It's very clear. We can see exactly where we were when we came to follow Jesus Christ. And if you're on the other side of that moment in time, if you're on the other side of that line in the of faith, all you have to do is step over that to believe in Jesus and say, yes, I want to follow. I want to follow. And be saved. Well, how do we know then that Zacchaeus actually underwent genuine repentance and faith? Here's how we know. We see the fruit in his life, the spiritual fruit. Well, first of all, Jesus pronounced him as saved. That's a good clue, right? Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. I mean, pretty clear. But secondly, Zacchaeus' life is beginning to change and be transformed from the inside out. From the inside out, there's spiritual fruit that even in that short period of time between the sycamore tree and the dinner party, Zacchaeus is changing. Like Zacchaeus, in our lives, Jesus doesn't just change what we do. He doesn't just change our behavior, but what God wants to do through faith in Christ in our lives is he wants to change what we want to do. He changes us from the inside out. He changes us through his Holy Spirit as we follow him. He changes us, our motivations, our heart motivations, our heart desires from the inside out, so that what we want to do changes, and then our behavior begins to change as well, and our life begins to be transformed. But it's not just behavior modification. There's a lot of things in this world where you can try to modify your behavior and control your behavior and change in that way. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can change you from the inside out. and has the power to do it. And that's exactly the change that God wants to do in us. Third, what else do we see about how Jesus changes people? Well, Jesus' commitment to mission should encourage us in the mission. Jesus' commitment to mission should encourage us in the mission. Here's what I mean. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, right? He says that, verse 10. He says, I came to seek and save the lost. What does that mean? That means lost people will be saved. They will be saved. Jesus didn't just say, hey, I've got a great idea. I'm just gonna kick this around and I'm gonna try to see if anybody's gonna follow me. Let's just see if it works out, see how many followers I can get. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, he said, I came to seek and save the lost. In other words, I'm on a mission and I'm gonna fulfill that mission, right? It's a similar thing to how God encouraged the Apostle Paul one time in the book of Acts. He was outside the city of Corinth. And if I remember right, he just got beat up really bad. And he was discouraged. And he was trying to reach people and share the good news of Jesus with people in this city of Corinth. And God encouraged him. And he tells Paul, I have many people in this city. In other words, I want you to get up. I want you to enter back into this city and continue this ministry of reaching people because, why? Because I want you to understand that there are people in this city that I have already called to myself, that I've already appointed to follow me, and they're going to come and follow me, but it's going to be through the means of you proclaiming the word. Of you sharing the message of Jesus. That's the means, but there's people that I'm going to call to myself. That's a certainty, a guarantee that encourages us, just like it did Paul in the mission. We've been talking this year more, especially since we've moved into this space here in the Waterbury a year and a half or so ago, about being more intentional in the surrounding community and in the neighborhood. In the city around us. This week we had a prayer night here at Antioch dedicated to just that topic of engaging the community. One of our elders, you may know, Darius Hubbard on the elder team, he's overseeing these efforts to really engage the community and raising up a team to do that around us here in the city. But one of the things that we need to remember as we look at this story of Zacchaeus, is that lost people, okay? When you would picture in your mind a person who is lost, a person that would be someone in need of God, in need of Jesus, lost people around us, they don't only include those people with visible needs. They for sure do, but lost people includes all types of people, all types of people. So like Zacchaeus, you can be wealthy, successful, and very lost. You can be spiritual, but spiritually empty. And you can be healthy, happy, and horribly incomplete. That's one of the things I've been thinking about, even with the people around us, the neighborhood around us, maybe even think about your sphere of influence and where you work, where you live, where you hang out, this neighborhood in Northeast Minneapolis, wherever it might be. There's many, many people that are far from God and they think that they have everything the world has to offer, but they're missing the most important thing. And we want to engage all types of people with the gospel, wherever they're at. Our hearts need to break for those around us who think they possess everything, but they really have nothing apart from Jesus. Because that's true for us, right? Apart from Jesus, we've got nothing. With Jesus, we have everything. We have everything. Do we believe that Jesus has multitudes of people all around us that he wants to seek and save, and that he is powerful enough to do it, to do the impossible, to put a camel through the eye of a needle. He can do it. He loves to do it. Let me close with a couple questions for us to ponder here. Number one, what changes in your life can you praise God for today? You know, a lot of times we think about, oh man, how do I need to change? What's messed up in my life? What's not right? Where am I falling short? God, what do you want to change in me? And those are good things, but take a moment and think about your life and just celebrate how God has changed you. If you're a follower of Christ, like, what in what ways can you just praise God that he has changed you in this way? I used to think this way, and now I think this way. I used to live this way, and now I live this way. I used to pursue these things, and by God's grace, now I pursue these things. Just praise him for that. That's a divine miracle. And second, who in your life can you pray God would change to follow him? Is there someone in your life where, and let me challenge us. You might think of a person in your life that's far from God, and you honestly might be thinking, it is impossible that they would ever follow Jesus. I mean, impossible, right? Well, with God, nothing's impossible. God's in the camel through the eye of the needle business. No one is out of the reach of God's saving grace. So I would encourage you and me to pray boldly that God would take a camel through the eye of a needle, and that you would pray for this person in your life that you would love to see come to follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Thank you that you are in the change business, Jesus. You change a guy named Zacchaeus, and you love to change people today. Continue to change us. Move us one step closer to you wherever we're at today, Lord. And God, we pray for the people, for people in our lives that may be far from you, that you would do the impossible, that they would see their need for a Savior, that they would turn from sin and believe in you as their Lord, their Savior, their King. And God, that would be all to your glory, and that we could say, look what God has done, and give you praise. We pray this in your name. Amen.